The scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms 100, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 5. That is the complete Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Yes.
It's good to see everyone here on this cool, brisk fall morning. I asked if you will keep Vicky's brother Austin in your prayers. He has been battling with an infection now for the last month or so. He has to go into the doctor tomorrow to have his knee that he had surgery on aspirated. The results of the testing of the aspiration, the fluid they removed, will determine whether they will have to remove his knee for about 3 months. So we're hopefully that will keep him. Hopefully that they will find that that won't have to be done, that the drug therapy that he's on now will continue to be working. So please keep Austin Rankin in your prayers. The 100th Psalm is a psalm of praise. You could almost consider it an opening song. It speaks of coming before God's presence and entering into his gates. The psalmist speaks of the relationship that God's people have with him, a relationship that we are to have, much like a sheep to a shepherd. It speaks of the goodness and mercy of God. In verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. When we come to worship God, we should come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Thursday, as many of us know and are looking forward to, is Thanksgiving Day. It is an appropriate holiday. As Christian people, we must be thankful. Not only on this one day of the year, but every single day of the year. Brethren, we enter God's gates with thanksgiving because thanksgiving is the only appropriate response for what God has done for us. Listen to a couple of scriptures from Isaiah and what Isaiah speaks about God. God is our creator. Isaiah 45 and verse 12, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts I have commanded. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, it says that he is our sustainer, that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. God is also our Redeemer. Isaiah 44, verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. Because God is these things, we have no right to be anything but thankful. If we get right down to the very beginning of it, we should be thankful for our very existence. Paul in Ephesians 5 and verse 20 said, giving thanks always for things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also need to be thankful for our daily bread, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 4. Paul writes, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Brethren, we need to be thankful for our salvation. In Romans 6 verse 17, Paul writes, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Go back and look at your life. Look at the things that you've accomplished. Look at the things that you've endured. Look at what the future holds. How could we be anything other than thankful for what God has done and what God will do? Thanksgiving requires us to focus on the blessings that God has provided. When we stop focusing on those blessings, we lose our perspective regarding Thanksgiving. You know, oftentimes many families have a tradition during Thanksgiving meal that they would go around the table and ask everyone what they're thankful for. And oftentimes many will say they're thankful for their jobs, they're thankful for their families, and these we should be truly thankful for. But how many really say that they're thankful for the salvation that was offered to them by God? When we lose our perspective regarding Thanksgiving, our relationship with God begins to suffer. Thanksgiving is the only appropriate response if we're to maintain and wish to maintain our relationship with God. You know, Thanksgiving also brings about a change in attitude. What attitudes would Thanksgiving affect? Well, pretty much all of them. But I want to look at three key attitudes. Thanksgiving leads to humility. In Proverbs 29, verse 23, it states, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You know, to say thank you to someone means acknowledging that someone else's contribution to your success. That is an attitude of humility when you recognize that you haven't gotten where you are alone. You know, as children and we look at the successes that we have, would you have gotten there without the guidance of parents? In our businesses or in our work, would we have gotten there without someone else maybe encouraging us to be able to get there, or even teaching us the work that we accomplish? Thankful people are humble people. When we are thankful, we will be much less likely to be lifted up with pride. Thanksgiving also leads to dependence on God in prayer. Paul in Philippians 4 and verse 6, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer and thanksgiving go hand in hand. The thankful person is a praying person. When we are thankful in prayer, we recognize our reliance upon God in all things. Recognizing our dependence on God keeps out that attitude of selfishness. Thanksgiving leads to joy. Psalm 97 and verse 12. The psalmist writes, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." People who are thankful are people who are content. We realize the source of all of our blessings. People who are content are people who rejoice. The people who rejoice are people who are happy. Thankfulness and joy go hand in hand. If you want to be happy, be thankful to everyone that you meet. But most importantly, be thankful to God. If we fill our thoughts with thankfulness, there will not be any room for ingratitude or discontent. Thanksgiving spurs us to action for the welfare and the benefit of others. When we are thankful, we want others to have the same blessings that we have, if we are truly thankful. David, in the 107th Psalm in verse 22, he says, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and dedicate his work with rejoicing." You know, when the Queen of Sheba had come to see for herself all of the things that Solomon had, what she noticed was a relationship that he had with the people. Both David and Solomon were blessed beyond measure. And they didn't hold those blessings to themselves. Solomon, who had servants who were happy to be his servants, all these things were recognized by others. When we're thankful for the food that we have, when we're thankful for our clothing and our shelter, wouldn't it be uplifting for us? And wouldn't it be the right thing to wish those things on everyone? When we have the good life, don't we want others to also have the good life? When we're thankful to God for our salvation, we want others to have salvation too. When we want others to have the blessings we have, we'll work toward that end all of our lives. You know, we discussed in class this morning the current political situation in our world, and there are those on one side are happy, those on the other side are not happy. But are we going to take and look at opportunities that we have to share with other people the gospel, to renew our energies, to bring about morality back into this country? When we want to look at working for the Lord, we also have to look to the Lord for the examples that he sets. Consider Jesus in John 6 and verse 11 when he fed the 5,000. It says, "And Jesus, he took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would." You know, oftentimes in our children's Bible classes, we use Jesus feeding the thousands as a lesson on the sharing of a little boy with the bread and the fish. And we miss the whole big picture. It was a miracle. But it was also the Lord showing his compassion on the multitude. You see, Jesus and his disciples, they had money. They could have gone to wherever and gotten a meal. But where were 5,000 people going to go? And there was more than 5,000. They just counted the men. So there, his compassion, him wanting their stomachs to be full just as much as his. His thankfulness for the bread, his thankfulness for the fish was translated into an overflowing abundance of food. So much so that they picked up 12 baskets of fragments. When we think of Thanksgiving, look at the meaning and the significance of the Lord's Supper. This is supposed to be a time of thanksgiving. In Luke 22 and verse 19, it says, "And he took bread and gave thanks, and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You see, even Jesus was thankful for everything. And he knew the source of everything. It reminds me of what Christ and God did for our welfare. It would have been so much simpler for God to have just destroyed the world and be done with it. This great experiment, because of man's choice, ended up becoming a failure. But God saw success in one man. He saw success. He saw a man in the man of Noah who was thankful, who praised God, who preached God his whole life. During the construction of the ark, Noah the preacher, no doubt, spent many, many years trying to save people. He wanted to look out for their welfare and for their benefit. But just as today, they look at us as they probably no doubt looked at Noah, as strange and a kook. The welfare and the benefit that Christ and God did for us, we must also do for the welfare and the benefit of others in God's service. Thanksgiving will spur us into action to worship God in the spirit that it is intended to be worshiped, to gather together on the first day of the week, to humble our hearts, to bow our heads, to sing our songs, to worship God, spirit and in truth, to work diligently to keep ourselves pure, and to work diligently to help those others. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, it says, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Thanksgiving, of all the holidays on our calendar, is my favorite. It is a time of being with family. I'm thankful for the sacrifice that my wife and daughter and those who do the cooking go through in the kitchen. I am thankful for every burp that I make. I'm thankful for the turkey nodding me off for a nap. I'm thankful just to be around my family on the holidays and to appreciate them so much. But Thanksgiving is not a one day on the calendar. To a Christian, Thanksgiving is an everyday event. And we must never take it for granted. Whether we spend Thanksgiving with family, whether we spend it alone, we can remember always the things that were done unselfishly for us. And we must also, because of that unselfish love that Christ gave to mankind, show that same unselfish love for all of our fellow men. If you're not a Christian this morning, we want to give you an opportunity. Many here this morning are so thankful for the sacrifice, are so thankful that the opportunity was given to them to obey the gospel. And we want to give that to you. We want to give you that opportunity. If you're not sure what it means to obey the gospel, if you'll make it known, we will sit down and share those things with you. But if today is the day that you want to obey the gospel, that you want to repent of your sins, to confess Christ as the Son of God, and to be baptized so that your sins will be washed away, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. And we implore, if it is an idea that has crossed your mind, if you say, I have time, time is something that man does not have. That time can be taken from us at any time. The future may never come. So today is the day to make the decision. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you haven't been as thankful as you should for the blessings in your life. Maybe you're not thankful for the tribulations and trials that you're going through, but you need to be. It is through our trials and tribulations that we gain wisdom, that we rely more heavily on God, that with those workings of trials and tribulations, we develop our patience and our understanding. If anyone has a need this morning, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.